Well, if you would join me for the reading of our scripture, it's on the back of your bulletin from the book of Jeremiah and from the Psalms. Jeremiah writes, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her." And when he's speaking of the her there, he may pardon her, Jerusalem, the city. And then from Psalm 1, a very famous psalm, one that we have been blessed with for many of our years in the church. "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and our hearing of it. That sounded just a little different than what you remember, because this is one that we memorize and we read often. It's from the Christian Standard Bible, the new CSB. Now, I have some things to say today that I believe would make me not only an unpopular speaker in some arenas. I think it's quite possible I might be booed and harassed and run off the stage. I suspect that might happen with some groups of a type or two of students in one of the lecture halls over at SIU. And I think it could possibly happen in a meeting or two of one or two of the religious groups here in Carbondale. And the reason that might happen, in my humble opinion, now this is just my opinion, but I think it might happen for this reason. Some groups of our current American culture are truly far different than the majority of the societal culture in America as recently as, say, just 50 years ago or so. Well, how different? I would suggest that in the particular category or grouping that I'm speaking of, men, masculinity, differences between male and female, and all that is believed about that part of life and culture, in that general category, the prevalent thought in some well-defined groups is that you really shouldn't make any difference between a male and a female, or you're being gender biased. There are no specific male roles. Female and male are exactly the same in every aspect except physical body. And some even go so far as to say the difference there is inconsequential. It's just that anything a man can do, a woman can do it equally well, and vice versa. So, I'm thinking I'm about to give a talk to a group that totally believes that, and I'm about to get run off the stage with tomatoes and raw eggs hurled at me. Because what I'm going to speak on is the values, the necessity, and the God-given ideal of a man being the man of the family, the man of the home, a male gender role, and a distinct leadership role. What I mean and what I'll be saying is that the ideal is that a man, a father, has a distinct role or roles that a man fulfills best in a family home, a home with father, mother, and children. And while I might not be safe in some groups proclaiming this message, I think I'm pretty safe here in this church, proclaiming that truth, basically all Americans used to believe in. Every home, every family needs a strong symbol of authority. I do not deny that some mothers must necessarily assume that role because of the absence of the father or the children. But I believe this should be the case only in the absence of a father. A man absent from his family does happen, but should only happen for a legitimate reason. And I'll list some such reasons, not an exhaustive list, but major reasons. Reasons why a home is missing a father. Well, tragically, some fathers die while the children are still in the home. Military assignments take fathers away from home for specific periods of time. Business requirements necessitate dad to be away from home occasionally. Well, you get the idea. A truly legitimate reason for the father to be absent, short term or in the case of a death, long term, but a real substantial reason. And then it is absolutely appropriate for mom to assume the authority role. So when a father is willing to accept this authority challenge, and at the same time be able to just, you know, sort of step over and be sort of less typical authoritative approaches, such as being compassionate and tender in dealing with every member of the family, when he can do that, a home has a solid human anchor. And I have to say, the father that I'm speaking of actually cannot be all he ought to be as a father and as a man unless he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior. You just can't do it. Then hear me. Hear me that today, to hear this message as a twofold message. First, it is an appeal for men to be godly. Second, it's an urgent plea for every father to be, in Christ, the head of the home and family. Think of yourself, if you're a father, of yourself, if you're a man and intend in God's time to be a father. Or all of us can think along this line, all of us, because we've all had a father still with us or passed on. Think with me about the man you are thinking of just now. You're currently a father. You're currently a father maybe to be. Or thinking of your own father in the case of all of us, is this the man you're envisioning? A man of conviction? A man of compassion? A man who was or is or will be open-minded? A man who loves or will love or did love his family? And a man who loves the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Is this the man you're envisioning? A man of conviction. What a good place to start. As we look at our world, we're seeing a weakening and corrosion on every hand. We see that a people, the founders of America, who once had deep convictions concerning right and wrong and even who God is, are now in many ways a people, even some of our neighbors and our sort of friends, who have yielded to compromise and sacrifice principles. Well, there's a story out there about how a few years ago a would-be religionist philosopher was walking one night throughout all the streets of an American city with a lantern. Someone finally stopped him and asked him what he was doing. His reply was, "I am looking for an honest man." You see, that situation in Jeremiah's day was very similar. Jeremiah 5:1. He was urging the people to run throughout the streets of Jerusalem and see if they could find any man who practiced justice and sought the truth. Jeremiah's conclusion was that God would spare the entire city. It would be that would be holy city if only one such man could be found. Well, Christian people in our land, a country founded and established by the principles clearly stated in our Declaration of Independence, and then in our Constitution of recognition and dependence and submission to Almighty God, even suggesting somewhat strongly that we are a Christian nation, we Christian people have become discouraged because we have looked to leaders and we've been disappointed. Instead of integrity, we've seen dishonesty. Instead of leadership, we've seen confusion and concocted chaos. We need today people with character, with conviction, who will not be swayed by almost every turn by the desire for gain or for glory. Such people of character would be wonderful. But we the people seem to have lost control. But such does not need to be the case in our homes. In our homes, we need fathers who have convictions concerning the great issues of life and who are willing to practice these virtues in daily living. When our homes have these kinds of husbands and fathers, families will grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And good families, Christian families, that which we so desire and yearn for, actually could restore America to our former and far better status as a nation under God that we trust, that our Pledge of Allegiance says we trust, and the motto of our money proclaims us to be. People of conviction. It's important to temper our men of conviction by also being men of compassion. You see, to be strong and uncompromising is not enough. It's not enough to make an ideal man or father. We need men who are unabashedly, openly, and fearlessly tender and compassionate. Far too often, it seems a man thinks he has to put on a strong front, or people will think of him as maybe effeminate. Try to say that word. Try to say that word. I dare you. Actually, when done correctly and done honestly, the opposite is the truth. It actually takes strength of character to be a man, and perhaps even more so to be a father who is truly kind and unselfish. We believe Jesus was the ideal man, although in God's perfect plan, he didn't come to earth to be a man who became a father upon whom a wife and children were to become dependent. But he was the ideal man. And so, as the ideal man, we also believe, within that one exception of not being a father, Jesus was undoubtedly the manliest person who ever lived. And a part of that ideal man's role demonstrated to us by Jesus was that he also knew how to enter into the care and the sorrows of others and sharing their griefs. The 18th century poet Edward Young once said, "Shun the proud who are ashamed to weep." Another 18th century man, a conservative English statesman, Edmund Burke, said that next to love, sympathy is the divinest passion of the human heart. When we're able to feel, to empathize with people, we develop a tender heart and a compassionate disposition that could perhaps be identified as the manliest of qualities. I found a quote from an outstanding preacher, the Reverend Anonymous. He said, "How long, oh, how long will it take us to learn that there are only two things in life that really count? One is character and the other is human sympathy." Well, add to conviction and compassion men who are open-minded. one of the saddest sights to behold, and before long is pretty sad to be around, is a man who thinks he knows everything and he has no need to learn anything more. Such men are prisoners within the walls of their own ignorance. A real man is always willing to consider the possibility that there is some truth that he's not yet discovered, and perhaps even more than that, it takes a great man to say, I was wrong. And maybe even greater than that, the man, the father, the husband who says, I was wrong and you were right. Did I hear a feminine amen out there? I thought so. Well, let's redeem this just a little bit, men. Is it okay if we just kind of redeem that just a little? You see, after all, when we admit that we were wrong, we are actually saying that we are smarter today than we were yesterday. Okay, that redeem that? Well, conviction, compassion, open-mindedness, what more could you want in a man? How about this? Men who love their families. Many believe the most profound of all human relationships is a family. A man who genuinely cares for his family by his deep love for each one in that family is investing his affection in that which will pay truly the greatest of dividends. Facing and acknowledging one of the sad truths of our time, many changes have taken place in the family structure. Particularly during the past couple of decades, maybe a little more. Yet, a good trend is that more and more fathers are choosing to have a part in duties that once were considered altogether a mother's role. When men can decide to and start to help their wives in some formerly moms-only areas, it adds icing to the cake, a sweetness in their marriage relationship. The old saying, little things mean a lot, rings very true here. You know, vacuum the carpet this week. Take out the trash. Unload the dishwasher. Fold or hang up your own clothes. Or even if you really want to go out on a limb, make your own sandwich for your lunch today. This, however, is not the basic idea involved in loving one's family. At the top of the list of importance, if a man loves his family, for the love of his whole family, he will be faithful and true to the marriage vows. We can never be certain as to how accurate the polls are concerning marital infidelity in our nation, but we do know, however, that polls show a tragically increasing number of men who are unfaithful to their wives. Unfaithfulness affects not only the wife, but also their children in a striking way. Often we hear men urged to love their children, and this is important, but it is more important for men who want to show genuine love for their children to be the father who loves their mother. For children to know that daddy loves mama and is true to her in every relationship of life produces a far more stable mental and emotional health for a child than to have a daddy who only pours out his signs of love in the form of extra gifts. All of the fishing trips and attendance at his or her ball games will not suffice to bring fatherly love to a child if that father has been unfaithful to his mother. And when we say unfaithfulness, other than what we would normally think of, we must also consider loss of or lack of compassionate, self-giving love as unfaithfulness. We can never measure accurately the emotional instability that is fashioned and formed into children as a result of parental bickering and fighting. Many children have grown up in being deeply scarred adults because of this. We need men today who love their families by showing loyalty and love in every way to the women that they have chosen as their life's companions. Our scarred and scared country needs these kinds of men, and Jesus needs these kind of men as his disciples ministering to our broken world. Well, all of those qualities lead to the kind of men we need leading our homes, especially in our land, in our times when the deterioration of our society has become so visible and so destructive. And so I repeat the qualities so that we may focus on, so that we may look to our men to be those fathers, now and in the future, men of conviction, of compassion, of an open-mindedness that shuns the macho image of maleness, and men who love, who really love their family. And I believe all of that goodness needs to be topped off by the quality that only allows those supreme qualities of manhood, qualities of fatherhood, to dwell in a man. Topped off in a man who has willfully chosen to completely surrender his life to Jesus Christ with a deep, submissive love for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you know, I could say people from here on, and you can think people here if you wish, but it's Father's Day, and I'm going to choose just to say men, fathers. Our God wants men who choose to be and are willing to be responsible. And here's the thing. Well, no, it's not the thing. Here's the truth. Since we as men are made in God's image, we actually and really already have all the power we need to do what God requires in us. However, God didn't create men to be robots under his divine control, but rather to be free moral agents. God has given us the capacity to choose, and that function makes men accountable for their choices. God then is the judge of our use or our misuse of choices and abilities that he's given to us. But fathers, all of you, all of us men, loving and glorifying God by total submission to him involves a total choice to commit to him. This means dying to self, to our own ambitions and desires and enterprise. People, men and women like that, must say with Paul, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Men, fathers, must say with Moses' protege Joshua, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And any and all people, including men, fathers, God can use men, fathers, those who will accept their blessings from God as opportunities for service. Knowing that God can be depended upon to take care of our necessities, we men must rest in this confidence and serve God and our families with steadfastness. In this world of uncertainty and turbulence, we can radiate all the peace and confidence lacking out there in the world if God lives in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Such men and fathers will obey God at all costs, realizing that we, and I'm saying this to all the Christian men in our great land, not just you, but all the rest of them, realize this, if you will, please. We can do nothing in our own strength. Amen. But with Christian men today who will walk with God continually and will constantly seek to know his will, and then to do it with all our might instilled in us by the Holy Spirit, God can and will bless America. And for now, we say with one accord to all our men and with all of you who are fortunate to have a father, Happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen.